Well, good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our Wednesday evening church meeting, midweek church service on this 24th of February, almost to the end of February already. It's good to be back with you all, and pray that God is blessing you and leading and guiding you ever closer to Him throughout the first part of this week. And I pray that the same will take place in the latter part of this week, till we all come to another Sabbath fellowship. Our opening song is entitled, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And you can find the lyrics to this beautiful hymn on our website in the music section under hymns. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that is definitely the case. All others except Jesus Christ will lead you to destruction, because in Christ alone is found our salvation. So indeed, on Christ, the solid rock, will be able to stand, and all other ground will be swept away into destruction. I ask that you please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we give you full and complete control of this home church and of this meeting tonight. We ask that thy presence will be in our midst. And please, dear Father, bring the holy atmosphere that surrounds you and your throne down to be with us. And please flood this room with the light of truth and with thy love and glory. And thank you so much for doing so and for being here. Dear Savior, we also pray that thy presence will be here. Please dispel all darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your truth and righteousness. And please take the throne of our hearts and indeed rule within us according to thy perfect will. Pray, dear Spirit, that your presence will be here as well to lead and guide us into all truth, to convict and convert us of all of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment, and indeed to enlighten our minds to behold wondrous things out of the word of inspiration tonight. We thank you, dear Godhead, for being here. We pray, dear Savior, that you will continue to take in your very capable hands the cases of our dear brothers and sisters and loved ones that may be ill, may be suffering through affliction of various kinds. And thank you so much for helping them, for comforting them, and indeed for leading them closer to thee, for they can truly rest all of their cares and burdens at your feet. We thank you so very much, dear Father, that you are such a loving, compassionate, and tender-hearted God. And thank you for allowing us, through the plan of salvation and our Savior, to be your children, your sons and daughters, and that soon we'll be home, never to part again. So we thank you for being here. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. We're continuing in our study book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 1 at verse 12. And we left off last time with Paul encouraging the Colossians to be strengthened with all divine power, according to God's working within you, and thereby bringing you patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. So if you find that you're impatient, if you find that you're unwilling to suffer long with those that are at fault, and if you find that you're unhappy, then you don't have the glorious divine power of God working within you. You have another power working within you. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So, who has made us ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light and glory? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Who hath translated us into the kingdom? It's not Jesus Christ. It's God the Father. Now, Jesus made it possible for the Father to do these things. But it's the Father that has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It's the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. It's God the Father who hath translated us into the kingdom of Christ. So we talk a lot about Jesus removing the power of sin from us through his precious blood, merits, and righteousness. But here we see that it's the Father that is using the sacrifice, the righteousness of Christ, in order to bring us into the kingdom. Praise our God for doing this for us, dear ones. Praise Him from whom all blessings flow for allowing us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Praise His holy name for delivering us from the power of darkness and setting us free in Jesus Christ. So we hear a lot about what Christ has done for us, but here we see what the Father is doing for us. And praise His holy name. Are there any thoughts or comments? Continuing, verse 14. In whom, or God's dear Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So Christ is the image of the Father that we have not yet seen in person. And when Jesus was here, He veiled His Godhood with the flesh of humanity. He became a human being. And He was the image of the Father. So when you looked upon Christ, you saw the image of God the Father. And this is speaking about His character. So when Philip asked Christ, "Show us the Father," Christ was able to say, "The character that you have witnessed me exhibit, my actions, my words, my practices, is exactly what the invisible God, God the Father, would do, would say, would perform if He was here on the earth." Now, what does this mean, the last phrase in verse 15, the firstborn of every creature? Does this mean that Christ was born before any other creation took place? What does this passage mean here? Any ideas? Answer in the room is the firstborn was supposed to be dedicated to God. Another comment is, could it also be the firstborn in resurrection from the dead? And I believe you hit it right on the head. Christ was the firstborn of every creature. In other words, when He was resurrected from the dead, then that was an indication of all the rest of those that had died in the Lord, from Abel all the way down, would now have a chance to come back from the dead. So Christ was the first of those that would be raised to immortality. And when Christ was resurrected, there were others that were resurrected with him as a token of the rest of all the redeemed that will be resurrected when Christ comes again. The Bible talks about the graves being opened and some of the saints went into the city there at Jerusalem and was preaching about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, being resurrected from the dead and how they needed to believe on him. But Christ was the first one. Now, this isn't talking about the first being dead and then resurrected back, because we understand that there was individuals like the one Israelite that was thrown into the grave and he came in contact with the bones of Elisha and then he was resurrected back. So there were other individuals that had died and were brought back to life, but they weren't brought to immortality. They saw death again. But with Christ, when he was resurrected to immortality, never to die again. And thus was the firstborn of all of those that will be resurrected to life eternal. Continuing. For by him, or Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This isn't talking about God the Father here, and we're not belittling that the Father is the supreme God of the entire universe. But what Paul is bringing out here is that Christ is also God. Not God the Father, but a separate God. So Christ created all things that are in heaven or in the earth, both seen and unseen. And it doesn't matter whether they're thrones or dominions or powers or principalities. Christ is the one that allows individuals to rule and have dominion, or not to rule and have no dominion. Because all things were created by Christ and for Christ. And since Christ created all things, then he has to be before all things. In other words, he was in existence before anything was created. And everything that he created, he sustains. And by Christ, all things consist. They're supported. They're allowed to continue existing. Continuing. And he, or Christ, is the head of the body, the church. So Christ created all things, and thus Christ is the head of his people, his body, the church. Now, the church here is not a building, just as a human body is not a building. So Christ isn't the head or the ruler over church buildings. He's the head or the controller of the body of the church. And that's made up of people. So we're not talking about an organized religion. We're not talking about a church with various branches scattered all over the world. We're not talking about the organizational structure or frame. We're not talking about rules and regulations. We're not talking about anything that's connected with the functioning of a church. We're talking about the people, the believers. That's who Christ is the head of. But a lot of times people don't understand that. They look at the denomination as being the church, the body of Christ. And thus, if you leave the church, separate your name off the membership rolls, then you're separating yourself from Christ and you're no longer part of his body. That's what Catholicism believes. That's what Adventism believes. And I imagine all the rest of the denominations believe the same. If you leave the church, you're lost. Because they believe that the structure, the denomination, the system of organization is the body of Christ. And that Christ has married that structural shell. But that's not true at all. Christ is not the head of buildings. He's the head of his people. The body of Christ is made up of individual believers who have accepted Christ as their Savior. And it's these individual believers that compose his body, the Church of Christ. So if you leave a denomination, that has nothing to do with your salvation. If you leave Christ, then you've lost salvation. And the only way to get that salvation back is to rejoin Christ. So you become part of the body of Christ by joining Christ, not by joining a denomination. But by joining Christ. So here we see that the God that created all things, that sustains all things, that was before all things, is also the same God that is the head of his people. Now again here, we're not talking about God the Father. We're talking here about God the Son. And a lot of people, I can't say a lot, but there's a growing number of people that believe that there's only one God, and that one God is the Father, and that Jesus Christ is not the God, because there's only one. The Father. So when we come to this passage here, and it says, "For by Christ were all things created," it takes a God to create things. And that Christ was before all things that he created. They just can't accept that plain truth that Christ is God, not God the Father, but a God in and of himself. But that's what Paul is saying right here. All things were created by Christ. whether it's in heaven or in earth. And this God of creation is the head of his people. So what if you believe that Christ is not a God, but only God the Father is God? What if you believe that? What if you believe there's only one God, the Father, and thus Jesus Christ is not God? What happens now? There's a statement in the room that says, you cannot be saved. That's a very strong statement to make, but that is absolutely correct. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is your God, then you cannot be saved. What are all of those that are for God on the earth going to say when they see Christ coming in the clouds of heaven? Lo, this is our God, and he will save us. This is our God. We will rejoice in his salvation. So if you believe that only the Father is God and not Jesus Christ, then you won't be able to say, lo, this is our God, when Jesus comes. And thus, you will not be saved. So Paul makes it very plain that Christ created all things, not just this earth, but also the things that are in the heavens. And he was before all things that he created. And by the power of the Lord God, Michael Jesus Christ, all things consist. And Jesus is the head of his people. Continuing. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So in verse 15, when it said that Christ was the firstborn of every creature, in verse 18, it tells you exactly what Paul meant, that Christ was the firstborn from the dead. And Christ's resurrection is the proof that if you die in the Lord before the second coming, then you will be part of the first resurrection when Christ comes, because he is the resurrection and the life. Amen. John 1 verse 3, all things were made by him or Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made. So there's a lot of strong meat that Paul was bringing forth here in regards to the godhood of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, Paul was not in any way belittling the godhood of the Father. He was just making it plain that the Father is God, and that Jesus Christ is also a God. And not a secondary God, but a God that created all things. You know, when you talk with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they belittle the idea that Christ is a God. They will admit he's divine, but they will not recognize that by saying he's divine, that means he's God. When you talk to the Muslims, they will only admit that there is one God, but that one God is not Jesus Christ. When you talk to the Jews, they'll admit that there's one God, but that one God is definitely not Jesus Christ. When you talk to some Adventists, they will admit that there's one God, the Father, but Jesus Christ is not a God, because there's only one. But here we see that Paul brings out that there is at least two. There's God the Father, and then there's the Lord God Jesus Christ, who's the image of God the Father. And that Christ created all things by his Godhood. And Christ is before all things. By him all things consist and are sustained. And that means that Christ is the head of his people, the church. Amen indeed. And who better to have as our head, our general, our God, than Jesus Christ? Because he became a human being, and thus he knows exactly what we're going through in this battle, in this struggle, in this march up the straight and narrow path. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Who better to trust our salvation with? Because he knows how to sympathize with us, how to empathize with us, because he knows from personal experience what we're going through, what we're experiencing, and thus he knows how to help us and to comfort us, and to strengthen us to endure. That's why Christ is the head of his church. The true God of this earth. Not the only God, but the true God of this earth, and all other so-called gods of this earth are false. And praise God's holy name. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any other questions, dear ones, before we open it up to a season of prayer? And please go right ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Well, I could say that Christ became everything. He became our pastor, our savior, a physician, everything. And he restored. He even became the second Adam. So he is the perfect person for us.
Amen. Amen. He's also our elder brother. He's also the husband of his church, his people. So he's not just our God, the head of the church. He's also our elder brother, best friend, the one altogether lovely, our burden bearer. He's the one that we're yoked to and thus united with in the same type of contract between a husband and a wife. That same bond of close union. I mean, who are we to have our Creator come that close in union with His creation? A potter will form a vessel out of the clay, but Christ was willing to become the clay. I've never heard of any other potters willing to become clay to be molded, because they want to do the molding. They don't want to be subject to being molded. But Christ was willing to be. So praise God our Father, and praise the Lord Jesus Christ for making possible our salvation, and for opening our eyes and allowing us to see a little deeper into the truth of who our Savior is. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. We'll go ahead and stop here, and we'll pick it up at verse 19 next time. But let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer, and whoever would like to begin, please feel free to do so, and I'll go ahead and close.
Being always humble and the apostle we need for closing prayer for this fellowship. Our most kind Father, we thank you very much for these wonderful lessons. We thank you for the firstborn that is in the midst of us and the head of our church. We pray that, Lord, whatever we learn of you, we may grip over on it, that we may understand you fully. For this is everlasting truth. Lord, as we continue to learn over you, we pray that you continue to strengthen us as we may understand you as our only true God, who is for our redemption. We love you. We like you. Commune always with us. And now the Holy Spirit to help us understand you fully, that we may dwell in this world to eternity. We commit this work in your hands. Lord, may you do it among us and in the world, that you may shine, that your name may be glorified. And we have a prayer for our infirmities. Help us to overcome. Loving Father, cleanse us in the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that, Lord, broaden our names in the book of life, if they are there. If they are there, write them. When Christ comes the second time, we'll be among those who will praise him forever and ever. May many come, be ready to welcome on the clouds of the earth, of the heaven, the clouds of the heavens. We know we are at the very end of this world, and in this history, it's very prominent that your soon coming is at hand. Loving Father, We thank you that you have enabled us to understand that and know that. May you continue to grip on you that you may be saved from this world. Help us and stand by us. This is my humble prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, thank you so much for this time to come together in assembly with other believers. And thank you for the teaching and for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, I pray that you would help us to work on in the work of denying ourselves, in mortifying self through the Spirit, and that we would be led by the Spirit in all things. And I pray that we would diligently pray and seek to clearly be able to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit versus the voice of self, that we would hear the Holy Spirit's voice with the inspirings, with the teachings and the guiding according to the Word of God versus the voice of self with its natural reasonings, that we would hearken, that we would believe the voice of the Spirit is speaking to us and it's always according to your word and truth, and that we would heed that voice and be careful against self, which always, it's like self is an ally of the devil within us almost, because self is ruined. It's fallen, the fallen nature of Adam that must be denied. There's no good that'll ever come of it. And that's why you said we must deny it and be filled with the divine nature of Christ, that his nature is the nature we're living in, and being guided by the Holy Spirit in that nature, that our nature be mortified, made dead, the old man and the new man, Christ, take over our lives, and that we are then enabled to do all thy will. Help us to seek with all of our hearts to grow diligently, to grow every day, because the hour demands it. Not only for our souls, but for the souls of others and for your glory, because the more of Christ and his nature in us, the more we're enabled to bear much fruit and give glory to you. So thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us, for all that you've done for us, which is
Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise your holy name for delivering us from the power of darkness, for allowing us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of light through Jesus Christ, and allowing us to become part of his kingdom. Thank you so much for allowing us to have forgiveness of sins and redemption through the precious blood of our Savior. And thank you, dear Savior, for your great sacrifice. Thank you so much for being our Creator, our God, for being the head of your people, of us, dear Father, and of all the rest of your people around the world. Thank you, dear Savior, for being a father unto us. Thank you for being so closely connected to each one of us as we empty our hearts of self and allow you to fill us to the full and even to overflowing, that others may come in contact with your character through us and be enabled to see the love of God for them. Dear Savior, we give you the preeminence. We exalt your holy name. We recognize that salvation can be found in none other but you. And we choose to give our allegiance and loyalty to you. I pray that you will help each one of us to seek first the glory of God, and that we will put everything else secondary to your glory. And I pray that you will indeed take the throne of our hearts and rule within us of thy good pleasure. Help us indeed to put you on and allow you to live through us and in us, that we can show to others that we serve a living God. And thank you so very much for working within us a transformation from death to life. And dear Spirit, we pray that you will continue to convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Continue to grant us the grace and the strength to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of our God. And thank you so very much for doing so. Please help us to understand these truths ever more clearly, that we may indeed recognize the path that we're walking, that we may see if we're deviating from the straight and narrow, that if our beliefs are out of harmony with thy word of truth. And please correct us and instruct us and lead us in the way everlasting. And thank you so much for doing so. Please be with all of our friends, our loved ones, family members, brothers and sisters of the faith that may not understand these things, that may be in error and darkness and falsehoods, believing that they are walking the straight and narrow, the path of light and truth. Please break through the spell that is upon their hearts and allow them to see the truth. Convict them of the truth. Convert them to the truth. And give them the grace and the strength to turn about and follow the truth. And thank you so much for doing so before it's too late. Thank you for giving us thy word of truth. And please continue to direct us ever higher and upward. Help us to be faithful to the end, to endure to the last, to finish our course, and keep the faith. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Dear ones, are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, any testimonies, any songs, any requests that you might have? Please feel free to bring them forth, and I'd like to sing a scripture song at this point in time. It's 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the daughters of God. 1 John 3:1.
And I have another scripture song, and it's in Jeremiah 18:6. As a clay in his potter's hand, so ye in my hands, O house of Israel. Jeremiah 18:6. Good evening, everybody, and good night.
I have one verse I'd like to sing. It's Psalm 110:3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, Thou hast the dew of Thy
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Another scripture song comes to mind. It's Psalm 71:1-3. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Psalm 71:1-3. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close tonight? Please feel free. Well, it's been a privilege to fellowship with you all and to have you here digging into God's Word together and to seeking in understanding His Word of truth. Pray that God will go with each one of you to lead and guide you, to direct your steps in the way of righteousness, and to keep you safe until we're able to meet again. Praise and thank our dear Heavenly Father for making us partakers of the inheritance in the saints of light, delivering us from the power of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of His Son in righteousness. And praise and thank our dear Savior for being our Lord God, our burden bearer, our elder brother, our redeemer and savior and best friend. So, dear ones, may God bless. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19. Keep looking up.